Yeah, turn it on.
Says I'm on. Okay. Well, you know, who set these lights here? You know, this is our family here. And God has put us together for a reason and a purpose. And I, as you see, words that we've heard in just the last months, you know, this last Sunday, he's at the door, you know, and that really touched me, Pastor, those words, you know, and so you're a little bit of a tough act to follow. I mean, I look back, the one that got me most was we're invited to a wedding feast, you know, and I've had a few wedding feasts. I've been married twice, so I understand wedding feasts. I wish I had the money back for the second one, but I know it. But the enjoyment, what goes on, and when I begin to fathom, my God, a million, 2 million, a billion people could be sitting at that feast. So God's been speaking to me over a couple months period. And I've been doing some things that I haven't done as well as until he gave me this word. And the word is staying on the path of righteousness. And I had to start out to see, you know, how does the world see righteousness? So immediately, you know, we all have phones now, we can look things up quickly. And so I Google searched righteousness. And I learned that it was a noun. And it's the quality of being moral, right, or justified. Want to use that in a sentence, we have little doubt the righteousness of our cause. And similar words to that were goodness, virtue, virtuous, upright, integrity, morality, justice, honesty, honor, purity and nobility. Those are just some of them. So you think of, you know, that path of righteousness, and of course the opposite of righteousness is wickedness, sinfulness. So that immediately, just from not even knowing the Bible, that immediately tells me that there's two paths. And as a human person, you know, we're not right in God's eyes. And it said that in the thing. And it said also, instead, his righteousness, because of the Father, from him, the foundation of the world. Okay? So God, from the foundation of the world, established his righteousness around us and put it in us. In Matthew 6:33, there is an alternative to worrying about our needs. Okay? And in righteousness, part of what pulls us away from that is worrying about ourselves. What's going to happen to me? What happens if this happens? What if I get COVID? What if?
Yep.
But the kingdom of God and his righteousness if we were seeking him, okay, if we seek the kingdom of God first, and his righteousness, all the things we need will be added. Okay? That's his word. That's his written word. And, you know, I wanted to talk not only about righteousness, but the paths. Okay? Because there's two paths. In other words, we have to be reminded, just like Jesus in Matthew 6, starting with 5, 6, and 7, on his sermon about the olives, that's what he talked about, is righteousness. And, you know, on the two paths, we have A, which is the right one, or B, the wrong one. A, and King James says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end thereof are the ways of death. Mm-hmm. Nice. So I got to thinking about that a little bit and really try to understand, okay, the two paths, because a lot of us, I think, believe that there's some kind of gray area that's not bad, but it's not exactly good. But God never sees it that way. Okay? The wrong path always separates us from God. And we don't follow that path because we think it's right or wrong. We follow it because it looks right. It feels right. Just like I was in business for many years, and as I would count money, we didn't take counterfeit $100 bills if they looked wrong. But they looked like the real thing, but in fact, they were not the real thing. And so when we're every day of our lives, you know, we're on this path. You look at everything that Jesus was constantly on a path. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So, and my first example was in Genesis 3:2. We may eat of all the fruit from all the trees of the garden. But in verse 3, but God did not say, not eat of the fruit. He said not to eat from the tree that was in the middle of the garden. Okay? And why did he not want us to eat from that tree? Because that God puts us on a path sometimes just to test us.
Yep,
to see, are we going to head the right way or are we going to not?
Yeah.
And when they ate from that tree, not only did they discern the difference between good and evil, the biggest problem is it put them on a path that separated them from God.
Mm-hmm.
That was gone. They no longer had the comfort of communing with God and being with him. So choosing the right path and staying on the right path as a Christian is probably one of the most important things we can do. Because you know you're on the wrong path because you're away from God. God's not around anymore. He's not, you're not hearing him.
That's right.
So, we always want to be on that path that steers us the right way. staying on that path, the path of righteousness, I think has two major components. As Christians, we must do. The first thing is knowing the Word of God. Allowing that Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to show us how to use it to get closer to God, and most of all, to do the will that He's chosen for each of us. And if we look at that in a practical sense, God's the manufacturer, right? He's designed each of us to do something. People don't make things, okay? People aren't meant to, you don't see Ford out there building stuff, just build stuff. Everything they build is for a purpose. And God's no different. So, if we're not strong, and we're not standing and knowing the Word of God, then things don't make sense. Things don't fit. So, you have to have a prayer time. You have to be able to commune and talk with God. And you've got to hear it. I can remember when I first came into this church, I came in these doors over here and I sat right up there towards the front. And God spoke to me as soon as I got in here. He said, this is your church. He said, you know, you've been involved in ministry and you've done a lot of things in the past. But right now, you're a broken vessel. And I'm going to put you back together, piece by piece. And God did that. God put my life back together. He put me back on the right direction. And see, the wonderful thing about that story is, and I'm living testimony, because I have been one that's been a little bit like the prodigal and drifted a little away. Went down a path that really I should have never been on. Had pity parties about things I never should have had that took years to heal. And meanwhile, God let me go, you know, have my little pity party. But when I was ready to get over it, and I sat on that pew there, He said, I'm going to put you back together. And to me, that was amazing. And the revelation He gave about this house was amazing. I didn't know. But God spoke to me. So I knew that I was back on the right path. And you don't want to wait till you don't have any other choices to make that.
That's right.
Which I've done a few times. But the second thing in this hour that I think is critical of staying on the path is you must make a declaration that God is your source for everything.
Amen.
And you must stand on that daily. Because if you don't, then I don't even understand. I can't even understand right now how people truly make it, you know, in this day and age, you know, not knowing God. I mean, I got when the COVID thing first hit, I was so stirred up. I was like, God, they can't close my church. I need that place.
Yeah, amen.
God, how did that happen?
Amen.
And God spoke to me clearly and said, listen, I put an expiration date on everything but my work.
That's amen. Right.
And so I didn't have to worry about it. I already know it's my expiration date. So if it's tomorrow, the next day, the next, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
So, as we point ourselves and we make that declaration, another thing, you have to daily. And why I say daily, just recently I was going to Florida, and I was driving along, and amazing thing happened. I stopped midnight, and you know, I was about a little lower than a half a tank of gas. So I said, you know, I'll get off and get some gas and walk around, get a little breather. So as I was exiting the freeway, like in the other time, I would put my foot down on the brake. Okay? And my brake pedal went to the floor. With no brake light on, no nothing. But we got a 38,000 pound vehicle with another 3,000 pounds behind it. That's not a comfortable feeling. But I realize God is my source. Because I've already declared and I'm standing on it. It's not, I don't get up in the morning saying, God, you know, I get up, God, what do you need from me today?
Yes.
What do you need from me to succeed? Because it's not about my plan.
That's right.
It's about His plan.
Amen.
So, if I'm not stood on that, then all the cares of this world rattle us back and forth. And it's impossible to stay on that path. So, He's got to be the source. He's got to be the source in our jobs, family, finances, and that's a big one. That, because a lot of us can stumble in that area. I think it's Jesus right now telling me I've overstayed my welcome. So, you know, I never bring this thing into church. But in our finances, see, if God's my source, and I'm on the right track, the provision's already there for whatever I need.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what's in my bank account.
That's right.
You know, I love writing $17,000 checks to this church. I wish I could do it every day. God, what do you need me to do to get to the place? Where do you need to use me? Is it up on the stage? Quite frankly, this is stretching me. This is way out of my will. I'm not comfortable up here. If you want me to build something and do this, I can work 9 days. But to get up here and stand and talk before you, that's more difficult. Mm-hmm. But you know, the purpose for that is God wants to stretch us.
Amen. Expand my territory.
There was a young man by the name of Saul, and quite frankly, most of Jesus' disciples, they were probably not a lot smarter than I am. Okay? But there was one, Saul, who got on a path, and Jesus blinded him, okay, and changed his name. Okay? You don't want to be on a path where Jesus has to blind you and change your name.
That's right.
But in fact, he had a purpose and a plan. And guess what? Paul got on the right path.
Yeah.
And he worked the rest of his life to stay on that path. So that he could walk in righteousness. And he didn't always feel like he was on that path. But he did. See? Because the intellect sometimes hurts you. Sometimes you got to rationale everything and you got to make it all make sense. But knowing that, you know, we're all on the path every day. All of us. You've got to remember who you are.
Amen.
Your identity. God's given each one of us an identity. And The devil's the one who wants to change you. And let you see things that aren't what they should be. So without that commitment,
God,
you're my source. God, you're my source. God, you're my source. And you just can't. You just don't move the right way. So this verse here is in 1 Peter, which we've been reading. It's the New Living Version. It's 1 Peter 2:9. But you are not like them. You are, this is what how God feels about each of us. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. Of my very own possession. As a result, you can show others godliness, goodness. For he has called you. You are called. What are you called? You're called out of darkness.
That's right.
Into his light. And I want to tell you, his light is glorious.
Amen.
So, and we're reading 1 Peter right now, and that really stuck out to me because God's defining who we are to him. So, again, he's your source. Receive it. Receive his mercy and his provision for everything you do.
Mm.
See, so many times we got into about 50, 60, 70, 80, 88, 89, 90% of the way. But God needs 100.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay? Because when you stand on that 100, there's nothing God won't do for you.
Amen. Right. Amen.
There's no, nothing that can come against you. So, I want to give you my last example. And my last example is the example that Jesus gave. Because he was like us in the fact that he was on a path every day of his life. When he was little, he was at the temple. His family walked off and left him. And they were just, they couldn't figure out what happened. They were beside themselves. And Jesus told them, why were you worried? Did you not know I would be in my Father's house?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Now, to me, that says he knew what path he was supposed to be on. Yes. And he was teaching. 12 years old.
Yep.
Is what they say, I guess they estimate. And his parents were on a different path. They were on, even with all they saw God do in their lives. And then my second example, which I think is really powerful and shows really how God interacts, is when he went to the River Jordan to be baptized by John. It was a prophet. He was baptizing people and saving people out there. And he said, I should be baptized by you. By you. And Jesus said, no. No.
will be done. Let the purpose that God had ordained be fulfilled. And I need to be baptized by you.
Mm-hmm.
So that God's purpose and God's path for his life would be fulfilled. And the last one I want to use is, and this one really amazes me because some profound things happened that really have changed my life. After Jesus was baptized, he got back on the path and he went into the wilderness. 40 days. And fasted and prayed. Now, if Jesus needs to fast and pray 40 days, we need to.
What happened?
And after he had fasted for 40 days, prayed. Devil came to him. Mm-hmm. Don't you know he's always waiting for an opportunity?
Yeah.
And
there
are
that's
he came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, of course, you know it's the devil, because anytime the devil speaks to you, he always throws that doubt thing in there. Mm-hmm. Jesus knew who he was. But the devil still said, if you're the Son of God, of course, after 40 days, I'm sure you'll look hungry. I get a little hungry after 2 weeks of fasting. You'll turn these stones into bread. And I believe at that point, as Christians, this is God touched me so hard on me. One of the most important and powerful things that we can do is know these three words.
Probably.
He said, not his own words.
Yep. That's probably right.
He said, it is written.
Yeah.
So, us praying and knowing God's word is pretty,
yeah,
pretty powerful. Because when we know that, and our relationship is close to God, God will tell us how to use it is written, and the devil will flee.
That's right.
So he didn't come up with his own, get out of here, you're not so crazy. He said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone.
Amen.
But out of every word proceedeth from the mouth. I mean, if that's not a good answer, there isn't. Okay? But there's no way the devil can respond to that because the devil knows the word of God.
That's right.
But he knows how to manipulate. So I go back to it's important. So in closing, I want us to just think about our lives and think about what path we need to be on and who's with us.
Amen.
And not only with us, but we want them close with
yes,
us.
It's because it,
because we need to be able to
tighten his pocket or something.
We need to be able to understand.
And
I'm telling you this because the time is near that we walk upright with God. Because if this world doesn't see Jesus,
amen,
and the goodness,
that's right,
with us,
that's right,
who's he going to see it with?
Amen.
Who's out there? Pastor said something this last Sunday that struck me so cold. Love. This generation is the young generation is that they've learned that cold love. Why? Mm-hmm. Because you could be anybody you want to be online.
Yeah.
You don't have to be yourself anymore. So how easy is it to just flow with whatever? So that cold love is predominant in everything that's around us today. But Jesus is mercy and his light.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it didn't matter how far I walked away from God. I was always one step back. One step. I may have walked to the end of the road, but all I had to do was say Jesus. And he was right there.
Amen.
And if we can't show the world that, then what are we doing?
That's right. Yeah.
What are we doing?
That's right.
I mean, I love the fellowship in this house. I love the people in this house. And I tell you, I'm just honored to be with you guys. I'm telling you, God wants us to
Already the cross.
He wants us to be firm in who he is and the plans that he has for us, this generation, and everything around us. So as I close, I'd like to pray with you all. Dear Heavenly Jesus, God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you're doing in this hour. And I thank you that you're illuminating your plans and your purpose for each of us in this place.
Yeah.
To do what you've called us to do, that we might hold on to your path, to your righteousness. God, we need you, and we can do nothing without you. I thank you the hour we're in, and I thank you, God, that you continually bless us. Just move in this house. Be with us. Touch us. And thank you for your mercy and kindness towards us. In Jesus' holy, mighty name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.